Hello, everybody. Jerry Pippin back here at the Cover-Up Cafe right down the street from the UFO Museum. Jesse Marcel Jr. is here with us. The last time I talked to you personally, you emailed me from Iraq. How long you been back?
I came back in November of 2005, and Thanksgiving Day.
So anyway, we want to thank you right up front for your service to the country.
I appreciate that.
You've been in the Army how long?
More years than I want to think about.
Maybe I shouldn't ask that question.
About 30 or 35 years.
Well, I was in the Army 3 years.
There you go. It all counts.
I looked at your book a little bit today. I glanced at it. I was busy doing interviews, so I didn't get a chance to read it. But the guy said, yeah, I bought this, and Jesse signed it for me. And tell me a little bit about that book and what brought it about.
Well, you know, I wanted to get my dad's story cleared, you know, to show that his credentials were correct, that he really knew what he was talking about. So the book basically is based on clearing the air about my dad's training and his ability to distinguish flying saucer debris from a Mogul balloon or radar target debris.
What do you make of this? This is the story that's out right now that your father brought the real stuff up to the general and they substituted with a weather balloon. Did he ever say anything like that to you? You talk to me about it?
Well, you know, he did swing by the house on his way to the airbase with the debris. And that's where I and my mother saw the debris. And looked at it. It's very strange material. And I didn't really know what it was at that time, but he was then ordered to bring the debris up to...
You were young at that time.
Yeah, I was 11 years old, but old enough to know what I was looking at.
Well, sure.
And my mind was like a sponge soaking up all kind of information. Yeah. And he brought the debris to Fort Worth Army Air Force Air Base for the inspection by General Ramey. And I did see a picture taken of him holding some debris in General Ramey's floor. I did not see that picture for years and years. But looking at the picture, he's got this strange look on his face, like, you're kidding me. And he's holding up a very typical Rawlin radar target, which is definitely not what we saw in Roswell.
Right. Now, what can you tell our audience, about your dad and his military service? He really didn't talk about it. I guess the Stanton Friedman ran across him. Is that true?
That's correct, you know. He was ordered not to talk about this at the get-go. As a matter of fact, he came home, and after he came back from Fort Worth, sat my mother and myself down and said, don't ever talk about this again. Non-event, didn't happen, so you can't talk about it. And that's the way it was for years. Even in the family, we didn't really discuss this, although in the back of our minds, we knew what it was. Yeah. It wasn't anything that we built.
Right. Now, how about you? You went into the military later.
That's
correct. You're a trauma doctor, correct?
Yeah, a flight surgeon.
Flight surgeon, okay.
Yeah. I was a flight surgeon with the Army Medical Corps.
You've seen a lot of action, a lot of duty and everything. What am I asking about is, anybody in the military ever say, hey, don't tell anything that your father said, or did it ever come up, or did anybody even know about it?
Well, they as years went on, the story gradually came out, and somebody...
Yeah, you probably didn't tell them right off the bat.
No, they asked me before I would tell them. I spent many hours in the cockpit of a helicopter, and during the boring parts of the flight, the conversation would come around to, what did I see in Roswell? And I would go over the story again, and they're very interested. As a matter of fact, I've had flag rank officers ask me about this, because they're quite interested also. But there was never any recrimination or any hindrance to my military career because of this.
Now, 60 years, and this story is still alive, going strong, and we're just getting new revelations all the time. When you wrote this book, did you basically just wanted to set the record straight, or is there something in there that hasn't been told before?
Well, you know, basically I wanted to let people know about my feelings, my mother's feelings, my dad's feelings, and again, the accreditation of my father.
I like human interest stories, and how did your mother feel about all this?
Well, she was kind of closed-mouthed, too, because we were told not to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
But every now and then, we would talk a little bit about what really happened there. And the book also contains information about the newest concept of space travel. So there's a lot of science involved with this thing, too.
Yeah, you've been pretty active in at least looking at things.
Well, what that experience in Roswell did so many years ago engendered my interest in astronomy and cosmology, because I realized at that time we're not the only ones out there, but we have cousins. We have cousins out there, too,
right.
And they're smarter than we are because they can get here from wherever they come from.
And you've really probably never wavered from that idea, or did you ever have doubts?
I never had doubts.
Yeah, you were there when he brought it on.
Yeah.
And you knew your dad very well, so you probably didn't try to disguise much.
No. As a flight surgeon, I have training in aviation accident investigation.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been on some aircraft investigation accidents, but nothing like this was ever seen by me. You know, it's just something totally different. So this is about ours.
Okay, you're back in Roswell here. I know a couple of years ago, before you went back to Iraq, maybe it's 3 years ago, you were home on leave. I think you came by here.
Yeah, I did. In July of 2005.
I was trying to get an interview with you, but you were really busy, and you were only here for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, I had 2 weeks leave from Iraq at that time, so I flew home, came here to see what the place looks like.
And so what's your feeling about all of the, PR about Roswell? I personally, before you even answer, Jesse, I think really there may be a downside to it, but the upside is it acquaints everybody with the idea.
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm not sure I'd like all the hoopla and fireworks about this thing, because I think it detracts a little bit from the real meaning of what happened there. And that would be my only criticism, but actually I think it's a good thing, too. Certainly been good for Roswell.
It certainly has. Yeah. Even the street signs have little ETs on them.
Yeah, right.
You saw no photos, or your dad never mentioned the extraterrestrials.
You know, I'm not sure he ever saw those, although some people will put him at the site where the bodies were, but I think if he'd really seen those, he would have told me.
Yeah.
But he never mentioned that at all. So.
Now he was a, intelligence officer?
He was an intelligence officer
for
the 509th Bomb Group. So these are all handpicked guys for their training and their abilities.
Yeah, this was a very elite place.
Oh, very elite, because that's the Atomic Bomb Group
that
dropped the bomb in Japan.
Now, I think some people in Fort Worth that were higher-ranking officers stayed in touch with your dad all of his life.
Well, maybe so.
I've heard rumors about that. I don't know.
I'm not privy to that information.
You don't know either.
I don't know, but I'm not privy to that.
Yeah. Have you had anybody question you of an official nature about what you remember as an 11-year-old? That you can talk about?
Well, there's one instance that I can't mention names, or will not mention names.
Yeah, I understand that.
Where I was, I went into Washington, D.C. and had a meeting with an individual who identified himself as being part of the National Security Council. And we had a meeting in an underground room there under the Capitol building. And when we walked in on this, where this big meeting room was, there was a book on the desk about Roswell. He pointed to that book and said, "This is not fiction." And I said, "I know it's not fiction." So he asked me, "Well, what do you know about this? Tell me all everything you know." So I went ahead and I told him what I saw, what I knew. And I said, "When are you guys going to tell everybody?" If it's up to him, he would have said anytime, but it was not up to him.
No, right. So that happens when you compartmentalize anyway.
Yeah,
a lot
right.
of people would like to talk more, and they don't know, and they have natural curiosity.
Exactly.
And so that makes it probably difficult to figure out who's on an official assignment and who's just curious.
Yeah. So that was first and only time anybody in the government confided with me that this is not fiction.
And you said, yeah,
right.
You're right.
yep, not fiction.
So. What's happening in your life these days? Do you live up in Montana?
Yeah, we're in Helena, Montana. I work full-time at the VA hospital at Fort Harrison.
Uh-huh.
I have a clinic there in ear, nose, and throat disease, which is my specialty.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it up there.
Sure. You've had a nice, full career, and you're still at it, and I honor you for that.
Well, I'd like to retire.
You're probably like me, old guy, and I just don't want to stop.
Yeah, like an old horse, you don't dare stop. You stop, you die. You know, you can't stop. You got to keep going.
Old habits are hard to break.
You bet.
Anything that you'd like to bring out to our listeners, Jesse, before I let you go, that you think's important that people?
Well, okay. People ask me, well, what did this do to your religious feelings?
Okay.
And I'm a Roman Catholic, and I'm proud to say that. And I would say that if anything, this increased my faith in God, because that means that God is bigger than we thought He was, and He created this whole universe. And if we're the only ones here, there's a lot of wasted space. So there are others out there, too.
Yeah, I've often wondered about these people that say, well, that shakes my religion, and I don't quite understand that at all.
Yeah,
it kind of enforces it.
It reinforces my religion, my religious faith.
Well, Jesse, appreciate you coming by and talking to us tonight. And the book, let's give it a plug here.
Okay, the book is The Roswell Legacy. And if people want to see more about the book, they can go to the website, MarcelJr., that's JR.com. Or theroswelllegacy.com, and there's a picture of the book with information on ordering it.
Now, before we leave here, we have a link to that, by the way, so people can also get to it from our website. Nice enough to come do an interview. That's the least we can do.
Well, I appreciate that.
Before you leave, I mentioned Italy, and you were over there with your good friend, Paula Harris.
Paula Harris, yes.
And she's quite a lady.
Yes, she is.
You were in Iraq, so how is the attitude in the rest of the world about UFOs?
Well, in Italy, they seem
from your experience.
In Italy, they seem to be quite interested, because in Rome, they had this big meeting with a lot of people who want to know all we knew about UFOs. In Iraq, you know, they're too busy fighting.
Too busy trying to stay alive.
Trying to stay alive at that time. So
right, right, but. Do you think there'll ever be an official disclosure?
I think there will be. There has to be. My only hope is that it'll happen during my lifetime, but even if it doesn't, I already know what it was.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
Thank you very much. Jesse Marcel, everybody.
Well, Jerry, thank you. Appreciate that.
We'll be back in a moment.